He learned to pitch in your backyard. Now his team's coming over to celebrate their high school championship. So you need to patch those bare spots fast. Pennington One Step Complete has a revolutionary formula that repairs bare spots in only 2 weeks or less. Pennington's been trusted since 1945, and now it works even faster. One Step Complete from Pennington. Honest Green. Get your lawn ready for any occasion. One Step Complete is available at the Home Depot.
So who's the pro for your lawn? If you're like me, look no further than yourself. I made my beautiful lawn from great seed, a lot of pride, and even less water than you think. And did it all with Pennington Smart Seed. You see, Smart Seed is a premium seed bred to be drought resistant, so you'll use 30% less water for the entire life of your lawn. So to those who'd say the grass is greener on the other side, I politely disagree. Just look at my lawn. Pennington Smart Seed. Guaranteed to grow. Reclaim your turf.
Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, is a proud member of the Making Star Wars Podcast Network, the two-time winner of the Fan Favorite Podcast Network from the Star Wars Podcast Awards. To learn more, go to makingstarwars.net. Welcome, Star Wars fans, to episode 86 of Tatooine Sons. This past weekend, we read a tweet from one of our favorite Star Wars fans. It said that his birthday wish was to have a guest spot on a Star Wars podcast. How could we resist? Happy birthday, DJ Blake. That's coming after we share our hot takes on this week's Star Wars news.
Call up a Hammerhead Corvette. I have an idea.
It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true. It's true.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
The Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Maybe Turbis?
Do. Oh, do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that Porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody listen to it.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars from the unique perspective of a father sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I'm BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Achuta, Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you probably don't follow Charlie Skywalker. I forgot what it was. I was like, wait. What's the last word?
Well, it's a little confusing because his name is DJ Blake.
Yeah.
And his Twitter handle is at DBlakeJr7. But his name that he uses is Charlie Skywalker.
So I was like, they were all running through my head at once. And I'm like, crap, which one do I use?
And of course, you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. So on that note, here's my dad, the Bowtie Jedi guy.
Welcome home, guys. I don't think I can. It feels like it's been like almost a week since I've seen you.
It's only been like a day or two.
Yeah, it feels longer than that.
That's been nice.
I mean, you guys, like, I had lunch with you on Friday. Yeah. You hung out for a while that evening. I saw you, Nate, with it. But yeah, so yeah, what you guys been doing all weekend?
Oh, it's been fun. We've been playing pool a little bit, which we're not able to do here because we don't have a pool table. And then we've been watching a lot of movies. We watched Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
All right, I got to get your feedback. What do you think about Monty Python and the Holy Grail? BB Nate, you go first.
It was very strange. it was a little bit all over the
this
place.
Is madness.
The sense of humor was all of our kind of sense of humor.
It was
very dry and
very
stupid. If at some points I'm like, wait, where are we going with this?
Right.
And it was just, their comedy jokes were drawn out much longer than I thought they would.
It's British comedy, so it's different. I thought it was fun. It was stupid. You know, it's a cult classic. You know, you've got to watch it sometime. So I can say.
I suppose we should explain why you guys aren't at our house this weekend. So.
Oh yeah, that would be.
So I guess
we're dog sitting for. This family that mom knows.
Tell them the names of the dogs. Well,
the dogs'
guys.
Names are Ahsoka and Vader.
Oh, so that's awesome! Cool. They're big black dogs.
Yeah,
Vader is so sweet.
Yeah, Vader's a sweet dog. Ahsoka's
hyper,
and constantly needs attention. If you show Vader,
so not any very different than real Ahsoka.
No. If you show Vader any affection, Ahsoka will literally walk over and get in between you and is like. Pay attention to me. So that's awesome. Fun.
Well, I did this weekend was watch football.
That sounds like a blast.
It was a blast. Yesterday I watched Army go to overtime against Michigan in Michigan, which is a big deal. Army against Michigan. Then I watched Colorado come back from 17-0 at halftime to win in overtime against Nebraska, their biggest rival. So this guy comes, I'm outside working on something in the front yard yesterday before the football started, and this guy walks up and he was wanting to tell us about a problem that we had on our drains pipes when the massive flood happened.
Yeah.
The day before, because we had like this massive downpour and hail and all this other stuff. And he came up and honestly, I was pretty frustrated because he was wearing a Nebraska shirt, and I'm like, dude, don't walk into my yard with that on. But anyway,
okay,
Colorado beat them in overtime. That was good, and then I finished it off watching Texas LSU, which is supposed to be the big game, but it didn't really work. So it's. Fun. So we'll see with that. So anyway, and we did get a review last week again. This is like fourth or fifth week in a row. Pretty excited about these reviews here. This one's from Darth Star-Lord. Ooh, I think like he's probably a Marvel guy too.
Yeah, I like that name. That's a good name.
Darth Star-Lord. 5 stars. Pass on what you have learned.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. It says, I am so happy that I recently discovered this podcast. I love how it's a father and son podcast. It reminds me of my own mother and how she passed on her love for Star Wars to me and how I can't wait to pass that down to my kids. And I also love how it's clean and family friendly. Keep it up, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's pretty awesome.
That's cool.
All right. You guys ready to get on with the show?
Let's do this.
All right, so today's podcast, I should have mentioned that. I forgot to mention that. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/Tatooine Sons. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Sam and Nathan, I'm going to start with you, BB Nate. If you were to recommend one Star Wars book as someone's first Audible download, what would you recommend?
Oh, I know.
I was going to say probably what you're going to say.
So say it.
Well,
that's why I had you go first.
It's not really a good first one, but it's Dooku Jedi Lost. That would have to have been my favorite audiobook.
Okay, interesting.
It was good. It was really
audio
good.
Drama.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a great one. What about you?
Crap, still the one I was going to choose.
The only other Star Wars audiobook.
No, you listen to Bloodline and some others.
Yeah. I don't know about the audio version of this, but maybe the first Thrawn.
Okay.
The first Thrawn book, because that's just a good book.
Thrawn, you and BB Nate, you and I listened to Thrawn Alliance.
Mm-hmm. That was good. The narrator's voice for Anakin, though, was getting a little bit annoying towards the end.
Really?
Yeah, it was just like...
Oh, yeah, Anakin didn't really work.
It didn't, no. It's Vader. It's good, though.
But the first one's good. Again, I don't know what they did with the audiobook, though. So,
yeah.
It's just a good book to listen to. So.
I'm going
to
be honest with you. I think one that I haven't had a chance to finish yet, I keep checking it out online from the digital loans from the library, but never have a chance to finish. But every time I listen to it, I really like it, is The Legends of Luke Skywalker, because of the way that it's those short stories, and there's lots of good interaction, and there's characterizations, and
it's a great book.
You guys haven't heard it on Audible though.
No, we've read it.
It's awesome.
It's a good book.
All right. Well, why don't we get into this week's podcast poll of the week?
Are you brainless? I never ask that question until after I've done it. What?
No! All right, so last week we talked about that red ribbon from The Rise of Skywalker.
There you go. Yeah, you said this week's podcast.
Did I?
Yeah.
I probably did. I usually do. Anyway, last week's podcast, Pull of the Week, had to do with the episode with the red ribbon of, or red string of fate. And, and the connection that we think it hints at Reylo, or at least we made the argument from a lot of different articles, like on Nerdist with Lindsay Romaine, who's an awesome writer. And I forgot, I think, to put that in the notes last week. And I apologize, Lindsay. I want you to know that I'm not trying to take I hate that you got upset with us. I'm really genuinely saying this from my heart right now, that it's been bothering me all weekend that you were offended by that. So please forgive us. And
it's not our intention.
It was definitely I usually am so careful about that, and just in the midst of getting that up, everything just got messed up, and I'm sorry about that. So we used that article, we used some others, we had some friends from on Facebook and Twitter that were reaching out to us. Dennis, by the way, there's actually a feud going on right now between us and Chatter Squadron. I should probably mention, because Dennis is a listener of ours. We had him as actually a review a few weeks ago, where he made the statement that we are now his new favorite Star Wars podcast. And we replaced Chatter Squadron. He heard us with Chatter Squadron from Star Wars Celebration. We were on a show. We did a joint podcast with him. And we liked these guys, man.
They're awesome guys.
We were great friends with them. And we thought that they were, you know, that they were cool and all. But the reality is, when they found out that Dennis chose us over them as his favorite podcast, they got a little upset. And I'm a little frustrated, not by, you know, if they've got a problem with us, they can bring it to us.
This is madness.
But anyway, what I was upset about was the way that they sort of treated Dennis on their last episode when they talked about. Mike was listening to our show when he found out about this, and he was pretty offended. And they said some pretty, I think they were pretty uncool things about Dennis throughout the rest of the show. So Dennis, we are glad you're one of that you're listening to us, and
where there's positivity, we don't.
Yeah, I don't understand what that's all about, but hold on. Let's just, for all of you listening right now, hold on.
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
Okay, let's please. Anyway, this running gag is going to go on for a while, hopefully. Okay, is the red ribbon in The Rise of Skywalker a hint at Reylo? And we had four options. We had just another confirmation, it's a stretch, not a chance, or other. What did you think after the last episode?
And I said not a chance.
Not a chance. What about you?
I'm still in the it's a stretch category.
I think it's just another confirmation. We had 3% say other. Comment below. We had 22% say it's a stretch. That's you, right?
Yep.
That'd be Sam. 30% said not a chance.
Those are the smart 30%.
Yeah. Oh. And then 45% of you said it's just another confirmation. So
pretty large margin there.
Yeah. So anyway, all right. So let's start with that first one there.
So Darren Phillipson at Dazman 007 or 007.
No, that's 007. Huh. Oh, no. Anyway.
If people are actually trying to look it up. I think it's a definite hint about fate rather than Reylo. The posters of For the Last Jedi had all the characters draped in red.
That's true.
Maybe a sequel trilogy plan all along.
I remember that now. Everything that was for the marketing for The Last Jedi was red.
But this one it's not. I mean, it's got some red in it.
But I'm saying The Last Jedi, everything was red. That's a good point.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And then we have Blanca Salazar. Her Twitter handle is at Blanca D Salazar. Blanca interacts with just about everything we do on Twitter. She's awesome. I like her a lot. She's very positive as well. She says, I think yes. The reason why maybe JJ put that red string in T-Ross as a tale of the destinies. So she's all in on the Reylo concept with that. Right. And what do you got, Sam?
So this is from Dan JW. You know, I'm not going to read all that.
Dark Dan of the Sith, aka Darth Doob.
Yeah,
and I don't even know because it got cut off the rest of the day.
Anyway, this is a really long name. He says, did I miss something, or are we thinking the red ribbon is symbolic of the red throne room battle from The Last Jedi? I've wondered the significance since seeing the ribbon around Rey's hand. thoughts.
Yeah, so I replied to him and I said, our thoughts are on that last episode, dude. Listen. No, I didn't say it like that. No, I did. I said, hey, you know, we go into detail on that last episode.
You know, I thought about this too. I didn't talk about it, but or really go into, you know, detail about it, but I had noticed, what if there's some connection to the throne room in some way, because, you know, you literally just had red thread or red cloth throughout the whole thing, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to, I mean, the fun part about Star Wars is speculating responsibly, and that's what I hope we're doing with that, so. All right, why don't we move on? The Chosen One was hanging out with the Emperor last week until Disney made them stop. Yeah. Could the sequel trilogy be rewriting one of the most famous comic series in Star Wars history? And will The Mandalorian actually give us the origin story for the First Order? It's time for hot takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
All right, to avoid the mistakes of last episode, I have made sure that I've cited the sources for these from the very beginning of each type, because I mean, honestly, it's like it kept me up Friday night after that happened. Anyway, cinemablend.com. Is Anakin in Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker? Hayden Christensen, I can't speak today, sightings are feeding the rumors. And again, we'll link to this in our show notes, promise. Anakin Skywalker actor Hayden Christensen has begun to appear in public with Ian McDiarmid, sparking rumors that a certain Chosen One will return for the final installment in the Skywalker saga. It goes on, the article says, I mean, if Emperor Palpatine can bounce back from a plummet down a Death Star shaft, why can't Anakin come back in some form? Silly question. He obviously can. KUTV reports via comicbook.com that both Christensen and McDiarmid visited a Salt Lake City Children's Hospital together while they were in the area for FanX Salt Lake Comic Convention. Some fans suspected that this act of kindness doubled as a marketing tactic, a notion that seemed fairly far-fetched until Disney canceled the two actors' spotlight panel at the con. While all of this should be taken with at least a pound of salt, it's definitely an interesting turn of events. And if one of the film's actors is to be believed, we're in for more than just a few surprises. Let the speculation begin. Samuel the Hutt.
Uh-oh.
Is Anakin coming back?
There's a lot of signs pointing to it now. You know, Hayden Christensen has been making the rounds more in Comic-Con circuits. So they were just going around to...
They were both scheduled to do a panel.
And they were just going around to hospitals.
They went to the Children's Hospital in Salt Lake, and they made an appearance. It got out in the press. Mm-hmm. It was a really big deal that blew up all over media, and then Disney canceled their panel.
Hmm.
That must be really disappointing for people that went...
Oh, my gosh. No, I would be heartbroken.
That would really upset me. I would actually be mad at Disney for something at that point. Anyway. You know, if Disney hadn't canceled their panels, I would not be nearly as suspicious. But since they did that, I'm wondering.
What do you think, BB Nate? In between yawns.
Well, yeah, I think it is more of a confirmation. And didn't he show up at a Empire Strikes Back in concert?
Yes, he did. And with Ian McDiarmid. Oh, with John Williams. That's right. Yes, he did, just recently.
That'd be awesome. Doing that thing with...
Oh, I can't wait. I want to do that someday. You know, if I recall, all the way back after the Rise of Skywalker trailer, one of the things that we talked about was, if the Emperor is rising from the dead, wouldn't it be amazing to see the Chosen One come back in some way, like in physical form? If the Emperor rose from physical form and the Chosen One had to do the same thing, and he was the one that battled, we finally saw Anakin versus Darth Sidious in a lightsaber duel physically. Would that not be one of the coolest moments in Star Wars history? That would
be amazing. And they'd be like even more powerful. Somehow.
Oh, yeah. Both of them coming back from the dead. Oh,
jeez.
Yeah, anyway. Esquire.com. The Dark Empire comics from the 90s might hold a spoiler for the big Palpatine? Gosh, we can't get anything out right today. Palpatine twist in The Rise of Skywalker. Again, I'll link to it in the show notes. Released between December 1991 and October 1992. Dark Empire was a Dark Horse Comics series of comic books written by Tom Veitch and illustrated by Cam Kennedy. You may recognize some of the vibrant, moody art that appeared on the title pages of the bi-monthly series. It's become pretty iconic in its own right. The series picks up 6 years after the Battle of Endor, aka the central events of The Return of the Jedi. Starring all the famous faces from the franchise except Darth Vader, he's been toasted by this point, the series sees Luke and the gang fighting against a newly reborn Empire who is striking against a struggling Rebel Alliance. Han and Leia have a son. And the Emperor has mysteriously returned despite his death at the end of episode 6. Sound familiar? If we're talking the enduring influence of Dark Empire, the rebirth of Palpatine is probably the story's greatest narrative feat. Bringing the slain Sith leader back to life isn't easy. The story sees Palpatine transfer his mind and consciousness into a series of clones.
Oh, Lord.
As expected, the spooky old dude is seeking immortality, a notion that, for any fan of the prequel trilogy, we know is very much canon to Star Wars. In Veitch's story, Luke falls for Palpatine's tricks, becoming the Emperor's new apprentice. Now, in our new continuity, Luke is very much dead. But it's not hard to imagine that Rey, especially with her dark duds and red lightsaber from the recent D23 trailer, may take Luke's place in this iteration of the story. It's Luke's sister Leia who actually sways Luke and helps him overcome the Emperor in the end.
Or in this case, it's...
Perhaps we can anticipate the same sort of twist, except this time, it'll be Ben Solo who rescues Rey from the Emperor's grasps and redeems himself once and for all. BB Nate, is this where Rise of Skywalker is actually headed?
No, I don't believe so. A lot of coincidences, a lot of J.J. Abrams misdirection, as we've talked about. I don't think that it would be doing that. They've always been good with not taking anything really from other storylines that were not canon and then making something a lot off of it. I know we had Thrawn in Rebels, but that's not a storyline that we had. They just took the character. Yes. Yeah. They have never taken really a storyline from the comics and made it canon and then put it into a movie as big as Rise of Skywalker.
Okay.
It would be cool. Yes, I would like it, but I just don't think that that's where they're going to go with it.
Yeah, I see where you're going with that. I mean, while it lines up with pretty much every theory we've been putting out, I just kept checking off the boxes as you
And here's along. What you guys need to know listening to this. We haven't read Dark Empire. That's legend stuff. That's 20 years ago, more than that.
I don't even know what that's...
I remember... Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I think I did read it, but...
I certainly have.
But I know you guys have no idea about it. So.
It was definitely crossing all the boxes off. But I see where Nathan's going. They're not going to just straight up copy a story. So they may take elements or certain aspects of it, but... I don't think that's like a confirmation that that's exactly what's going to happen in The Rise of Skywalker.
I do think it's really creepy. And if you read the rest of the article, which I highly encourage you to check out in our show notes, which we'll link to. not making that mistake again. There's a lot of other parallels.
Yeah.
There's like a dozen things that they list that are very similar to the current continuity. So anyway, all right, last one, digitalspy.com. The Mandalorian reveals the origin of the First Order. At least it seems to suggest that. We already know a bit about the cast of the movie or the film. It's not a movie. It's not a film. But it's like... $150 million on season one.
Was it 100?
Oh, 15 million times 10, baby. That's a big deal.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, anyway. Okay, so we already know about...
To see it in like...
2 weeks. Or 2 months.
2 months.
2 months, yeah. We already know a bit about the cast of The Mandalorian, its place in the wider Star Wars universe, and its role as the freakier side of the franchise. But we now know a little bit more about The Mandalorian's context and how it will introduce the First Order. Speaking to Entertainment Weekly, the show's director, Dave Filoni, and creator, Jon Favreau, hinted that The Mandalorian will chart the origins of Supreme Leader Snoke's dictatorship, giving fans an insight into the First Order's not-so-humble beginnings. This doesn't turn into a good guy universe because you blew up two Death Stars, Filoni explains. You get that the Rebels won and they're trying to establish a republic, but there's no way that could have set in for everybody all at once. You have in a Western where you're out on the frontier and there might be like Washington and they might have some marshals, but sometimes good luck finding one. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. Situating the Mandalorian right between the Return of the Jedi and the Force Awakens, Favreau added, what could happen in the 30 years between celebrating the defeat of the Empire and the First Order? You come in on Episode 7 and the First Order are not just starting out, they're pretty far along. So somehow, things weren't necessarily managed as well as they could have been if they ended up in hot water again like that. You guys excited about this?
Of course.
Well, I mean, you're excited about the series, but this idea that the Mandalorian itself is going to give us some of that long-awaited backstory, maybe Snoke backstory, but specifically First Order backstory.
Yeah.
That was hinted at in Bloodline. It's really interesting.
No, I am excited. That kind of puts Mandalorian in with, like, the bigger picture, the bigger story.
You know, I was
excited for it. You know, it was going to be a fun show to see the grittier side of Star Wars, but it didn't seem like it was going to really have any impact on the story or really any significance in that regard. But if they show us where the First Order came from, then, yeah, this is going to have some serious significance.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I was always wondering, like, how is this going to work for any of the story? Because it's set on nothing towards...
It's set on Tatooine!
Yes, but we don't know anything how a bounty hunter would relate to the bigger picture of Star Wars. But I feel like if they do start showing how the First Order came to be, I think it might be a little bit more interesting. But then again, that I don't think would be enough to make it a like really big Star Wars canon.
Really?
No, I think if it's just a side storyline about some bounty hunters checking out some kid or whatever, like we think it's going to be, with some bad guys in there, that's one thing. But if the storyline ends up leading us towards the forming of the First Order, that gets me even more excited about it. So. All right, now when one of your Patreon supporters takes to social media with a birthday wish, it's your duty to fulfill it. If it's within your power. And you may know DJ Blake. You may know him better, though, by his Twitter name, which is Charlie Skywalker. He is one of the most positive and passionate fans in the Star Wars community, and we are privileged to have him as our guest next.
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, so yesterday I was sitting around, watching college football because that's what I do during the fall on... You know, when it's, the Saturdays, right?
Right, right.
I mean, that's pretty much what Sam and Nathan dread is. Yes. Multiple back-to-back-to-back-to-back football games that I'm like, why aren't you guys watching these with us? But anyway.
Yeah, we were playing pool and watching movies.
Yeah, because you guys, like we said earlier, you're house-sitting right now. So you didn't have to endure that. But I'm going through, and I see a tweet from Charlie Skywalker, from DJ Blake, one of our great Star Wars fans, a Patreon supporter, an amazing, like, champion of Tatooine Sons. And on it, he mentions that for his birthday, like, one of his only wishes, is to be... on a Star Wars podcast. So we're like, well, heck yeah. I didn't even know what we were going to talk about this week. So here we go. All right. So,
all works out.
Welcome, DJ Blake. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing great. Fantastic.
That's awesome. Man, you've been... now, you sort of jumped into the Twitter world and podcasting pretty recently, like listening to podcasts and stuff like that, pretty recently. Am I correct on that?
I believe around February is when I really started taking off with it.
Yeah, so I mean, like, what was it that sort of like grabbed you in that moment as far as, you know, coming all into this insane world, especially the insane world of Star Wars Twitter,
right?
Which is like one of the most bizarre experiences a person can have. What was it that sort of brought you in?
Well, I just, after watching the movies and hearing all the excitement of the future of Star Wars, it's one of my passions. I've been a Star Wars fan ever since I can remember, and I was just looking for something positive. You go on YouTube and you see all these people hating, especially like The Last Jedi, and these haters that were out there. And, oh, it's ruined. I'm like, how can it be ruined? It's Star Wars. It's amazing. Just take it, you know, for what it is. So I went on a quest to find something positive. And so I was searching, just activated the Twitter account. And then I started seeing these group of people together that were, you know, banding together and trying to spread that positivity. And I came across some of the Tatooine Sons tweets. So I'm like, well, I really love what these guys are saying. Let me go check them out. So I started listening on my podcast on the Apple app. And, you know, just really enjoyed what you guys were doing and bringing forward. And so you are the ones who are responsible for ushering me into this insanity.
Wow, it's our fault?
Absolutely your fault.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Oh man. And you're a mountain time zone guy. We don't get a chance to like talk to people in the mountain time zone. It's like there's only six of us, I think. So that's awesome. So so now before I was getting things ready for the show, I saw that you tweeted about a theory that you have related to that ribbon and the thread and all that kind of stuff. Give us like the synopsis of what you're thinking, because you said it connects to The Last Jedi. I want to give you a chance to share that with the Star Wars world. Be careful, because even when you're being really innocent and you say anything about Reylo, it can get weird fast. I mean, we experienced it this week, so just be careful. All right, so go for it, man.
All right. Well, I mean, this is – it's new in my mind. I love theories and love different, offbeat paths. There's already been a lot of, you know, oh, the ribbon means this. It's a Reylo thing. I actually don't think that it's part of that at all. I believe it has to do with the journals and the sacred texts that were aboard the Millennium Falcon that you just get a – brief glimpse of. What started in my mind was, to me, it's going to be end up being something that like Kenobi taught Luke with when he was aboard the Millennium Falcon, and just raise the visor down and search out for your feelings. I think there's something that's in these texts, because no one's talking about these books that disappeared on this ship. You know, it hasn't been brought up. It has to be brought up in this movie. I think they're going to go to Leia. She's going to read them. I think it's going to be a training mechanism with this red ribbon. I don't think it has anything to do with Reylo or any other connection other than just a training mechanism.
So, like, are you thinking like a blindfold or something, like with the visor? Is that what you were talking about?
Well, more of like a source of confidence. If someone has an object that they can possibly relate to, or, you know what, this was a sacred robe from a former Jedi, and this will help grab your confidence and focus your concentration when you hold on to this.
It's like a symbol, or like, you know, when people like tie strings around their fingers, it's like a reminder. It's sort of like that thing, in a way.
Yes.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yes.
Well, I can see that. Pretty cool.
I like that idea.
Well, we'll have to wait. You know, we only have a few more months before we get to find out.
It's still too long.
And that's what's fun. If you speculate responsibly, you can have a lot of fun in the lead up to a Star Wars movie. But if you don't speculate responsibly, if you do it irresponsibly, then it can be really disappointing.
What beer company has that?
Impressive.
Like, well, I guess
drink responsibly.
Yeah, is wrong.
Like, is that one beer company?
No.
I guess it's just.
I think it's like all of them. All right. All right. Are you ready? So we've got these 10 questions. We're ready to start grilling you on them. Are you ready for it, DJ?
Fire away.
All right, BB Nate's first.
Okay. So what's your first Star Wars memory?
First Star Wars memory is watching Empire Strikes Back in the theater.
Wow.
It was, I was just absolutely blown away with this this giant world that's just opening up in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I have actually saw, according to my mother, the Star Wars original movie in the theater as
oh,
well.
Wow.
But I was only two. She couldn't.
So we're the same age, DJ.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because I was two when it came out as well.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Yeah.
So, but yeah, my mom wanted to go see it. She couldn't find a babysitter. So she ended up taking me along. She thought, well, I'll sit in the back. If I, you know, get restless or whatever, she can leave. And but as soon as the opening music hit, I just sat in the seat with my mouth wide open and watched the entire movie. And so she kept up with it. And then when Empire came out and we were talking about it, she's like, well, we'll go. So she ended up taking me, and I remember sitting and right next to her and with the popcorn in my hand watching Empire, and then after that it was all over. It was just cool. Yeah,
so you were taken to Star Wars at 2 years old by your mom. That's a pretty cool mom.
Yes. Yeah, she's awesome.
That's great. All right,
so what's your favorite Star Wars movie?
I mean, it could be Empire.
Yeah,
but,
I was going to say, with that story, I mean...
Oh, for the longest time, it was Empire, but now it's The Last Jedi.
Oh, hey! Yeah! You're one of those... You're a believer, man. That's
it's
awesome.
It teaches so much, and it flows so well into the series. Yeah, it's an amazing movie.
What specifically is the thing that propelled it beyond The Empire Strikes Back? Because I'm the same way.
It took a few viewings.
Yeah, I mean, it took me like 3 or 4 viewings. As soon as I watched The Last Jedi, I'm like, I love this movie. Mm-hmm. It's up there. But then it took about 3 or 4 viewings, and it was like, okay, yeah, this is it for me. What was it about The Last Jedi that moved it into first place for you?
It was the character interactions for me. The dialogue between them. It felt so real. Between Leia and Han, and then you had this, you know, you find out more about, you know, Rey and Luke and why he's on this island. And it's just the character interactions and the story is just absolutely incredibly done.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So... here's where we start throwing a left turn here. So outside of Star Wars, what's your favorite movie?
Wow. Oh. I would have to say, and this is going to be weird, but Rocky Balboa.
Okay. I don't know if it was necessarily a reboot, but the older Rocky with his son and all of that.
Yes.
That one. Why is that your favorite non Star Wars movie?
There's a line in it where Rocky is talking to his son, who's now an adult, and he's talking about life, and he explains that nothing will hit as hard as life does, and as long as you keep moving forward, nothing can really stop you. And the more that you hit, and the more that you keep moving forward, the more that you can endure. And I love the Rocky movies to begin with, but just that one moment really struck a chord with me, because I've been through a lot in my life, and somehow I've kept moving forward. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, so if you're a huge Rocky movie fan, then you probably are pretty excited about The Mandalorian coming up here with Carl Weathers in it.
Oh, it's, well, Yeah, I mean, it's Rocky and Star Wars, so how can you lose?
That's right.
No, I'm really excited for Mandalorian. It's got so much potential. I just hope it's not as short-lived as I think it's going to be.
Well, and we know it's at least 2 seasons because they're working on season 2 right now. So
right
there we go.
Okay, so what's your favorite character in Star Wars?
Emperor Palpatine.
Oh, you don't hear that one very often. No.
Explain.
When Return of the Jedi came out, and I was watching it in the theaters, and just the way that he was treated and seemed to know everything, and just this glee he just had from watching these things unfold, I just thought, wow, this is the coolest cucumber ever. And it just, his pacing and his phrasing of the movies or during the movies was absolutely incredible. And so I fell in love with the character. Not only was he, he was showed on his dark side, but he just had it all together and had it all figured out.
So then you're probably pretty excited about this new movie coming out in a few months, huh?
Oh, as soon as I heard it, I was like, I knew it. And I believe I've explained or wrote to you guys about another theory I had regarding where he is and where he was and
share it again.
What's going on with
yeah,
that.
Sure.
So that Palpatine could possibly not even be Palpatine, but Plagueis. And I believe that it's this entity that has been around for a very long time, and this is where the rule of two comes in. He finds the most talented force user that he can, gets them to the dark side, and when he teaches them enough where they're actually useful, he then inhabits their body and becomes them. And so this spirit just kind of goes on, and they just keep this rule of two going. So, and I think that's what was happening here. I think that's also how Snoke was involved, and how he's going to come back in episode 9.
So he was embodying Snoke, is what you're thinking?
I believe so. I think it has to do with a ring that Snoke had, almost like a if I pronounce this wrong, I apologize, Momin with a mask.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I believe these different different artifacts that they have, have pieces of them in it, and that's how he keeps moving forward.
Well, you do know Rey is wearing a ring in the dark Rey scene in the end of that trailer, right?
Really? Mm-hmm. I didn't see that.
She is, and when I was looking at it, I tried zooming in, of course, on my computer. It just is all blurry, but I wasn't sure if it was that ring or if it was Leia's ring that they keep showing in the different TV spots.
That's true,
as well.
Too. That's interesting. Hmm. That's a really interesting theory, because then you could see maybe Palpatine was planning on doing that with Anakin, but then when Anakin became more robot, more machine, according to Obi-Wan Kenobi, more machine now than man, that wouldn't work. So he has to try to bring in Luke, and Luke won't turn. So something else has to happen, and that's where he's been in Snoke, and now he's trying to get into either Kylo or into Rey.
And I think that...
I think we even talked about this in detail on our episode.
I think we did. Yeah, we talked
about
it.
When you said that.
Yeah. What I figured is, it very well could be the ring, but I think at this point he'll transfer his essence into Vader's mask, very similar to what Momin does with his mask. And I think it's been strongly rumored, I'm not sure if this has been confirmed yet or not, that Kylo repairs his mask with bits of Vader's mask.
Whoa.
And if the Emperor is in Vader's mask... Kylo's mask. So I like the idea that he's like hopping between hosts or whatever via like these objects or something.
Well, even Kylo has already been talking to the mask. Yeah, they've showed it.
That's
so
true too.
Who's you know that the mask isn't really talking. So is he just talking to the memory of Vader, or is the mask actually already have part of that essence in him, and it's been talking to him this whole time?
That's great. That's a great
interesting theory. All right, so other than Jar Jar...
We just always have to preface this because it would be too easy for most people. So,
other than Jar Jar, who's your least favorite character in Star Wars?
I'll probably catch a lot of flack from this, but C-3PO.
Whoa!
This is madness.
That's bold statement right there.
Are you like, wow?
Why do you say that?
I just...
I understand it to an extent.
Yeah.
But let's be, you know...
It's ever since I've began watching it, and there's just I always thought, you know, he's a translator, he's a plot driver in certain areas, but I just thought he was pretty unnecessary. Even in the prequel trilogy, when Anakin built C-3PO and that's how he came. I just didn't like it. It didn't sit well. He's just annoying. And I think they could have done something a little bit differently if they would have given him. I know Tony Daniels is C-3PO and he does a lot of the mime stuff. But if they would have given him a little more personality, like K2SO or some of the other droids that we've seen, then I think it might have been a little bit better. But it's just always that stuffy, annoying, whiny character that I just wish would go away.
I think he's largely in there for comic relief. Because he is one of the funnier characters, and he's just like the slapstick kind of character too. You know, he's constantly getting blown up or limbs torn off or whatever. So I feel like he's in there for comic relief, but I mean, he's also a pretty important character, I feel like, in my opinion. But I mean, I can definitely see where you're coming from when you say all that. He is pretty annoying.
So have you heard that the suggestion that it would have been a better move by George Lucas in the prequels to have R2-D2 created by Anakin on Tatooine and C-3PO be serving Padme at Naboo as a protocol droid? What would you think about that scenario? Would that have changed things a little bit?
Possibly. I like that idea a lot, and I really wish they would have gone with that. It's just unless they're going to do some big massive reveal in 9, there's really not a whole lot of redemption quality for him.
Hold on to our anything else segment after this, because
we've got a bad feeling about this.
All right, so what do you think is better, the Clone Wars or Rebels?
And now we should probably throw in Resistance. When we originally did this, it wasn't even Resistance.
Oh, yeah. And what do you think is better of those three series?
Well, I would have to say Resistance, because that's the one that I've seen the most of.
Okay, that's fair.
I really want to get into Clone Wars. I'm hoping it's going to be available almost immediately on Disney Plus, because I missed a whole lot of it previously. I've watched a few things here and there. I watched the Mortis arc, and I liked that. So I really want to see more, but it's not on the
Netflix. Yeah,
Netflix anymore. So I'm like, so I missed my chance. I really want to watch it, and might sway my mind. I like Rebels, but Resistance, I thought was amazing.
It is amazing. I can't wait to see how it's going to tie in. I think it's building up towards the greatest collision of everything Star Wars related in Rise of Skywalker. I have a feeling we're going to see. I think we're going to see Christopher Sean. I think we're going to see Tora. I think we're going to see Yeager. I think they're going to be flying in ships with. What's the other one I'm thinking of right now?
The Fireball.
Steven Stanton. Yeah, oh. Steven. Yeah, we're going to see Griff. I think they're all going to be part of Black Squadron or something like that in this. With it, that's going to be amazing. And good news, they are going to have the Clone Wars starting day one, all six seasons that have been previously released, of course, starting day one on
on Disney Plus. And my advice, you know, unsolicited, but my advice is when you watch it in chronological order.
Yeah.
Watching it in episodic order makes it confusing.
It is
confusing. It's you know, George loves to do things out of order, and it creates real weird moments when you're watching it. If you've seen the whole storyline in chronological, going back and watching it in episodic order is not a problem. But from the beginning, it's like, why are we here? And then all of a sudden, I thought we were there, you know, two seasons ago. And it's,
yeah.
Why doesn't Anakin have a Padawan yet? I mean, right. Like, there's stuff like that with that. So, all right. What are we at next? I think it's you.
So if you could change one thing about Star Wars, what would it be?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one. Oh. Because I love it.
You know, the idea of flipping C-3PO and R2 was shared with us on this show after asking that question by Dominic Jones.
Okay, so and that would be a good one, but I would have to say, if I could have anything redone in Star Wars, it would have to be Attack of the Clones.
Okay, that's fair. Like just the way that the dialogue was played out and scripting and stuff like that. The storyline worked, but the way that it was executed didn't. Is that what you're thinking?
Correct. Yeah. Okay. There's one scene in there in particular that just I watch it.
I got and a it's bad like feeling about chalkboard. This.
They're on Geonosis, and they've already had the main battle in the arena, and they're going out to fight, and Padme gets knocked off the skiff,
right?
And she tumbles and then looks unconscious in the sand, and then it switches over to another scene, and it comes back to her after like 30 seconds, and she like stands up, hops up, nope, I'm good, and just you know, and they just continue, and I'm like, well, if I just, to me, it just made no sense. So yeah, there's just minor things in there that I really would like to change if could.
That's interesting. Yeah. Really curious. All right, so here, let's go down a non-Star Wars question trail for just a second here. All right, you're stranded on a desert island. Okay, you can only have three things with you. What are you taking?
Wow. My Star Wars library collection. Because if I'm going to be there for a while, I'm definitely going to read.
There you go.
Well, since I don't plan on being stranded on a desert island, then I could just pretty much say whatever. So a pen or a pencil that writes unlimitedly, if they can't take like an electronic device, but something to work on my fan fiction that I've been working on.
What are you working on right now?
I have plot outlines and have started the first three chapters for Solo. What I would
Solo
do
two,
for Solo it two, kinda, and Solo three, Solo two and three.
Wow! I can't wait. I want to hear read this.
Interesting.
This is good. Okay, so one more thing. So you're going to read a bunch of Star Wars books, and then you're going to write a bunch of Star Wars books. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. All right. A hammock. Just something to, you know.
That's smart.
Something to pass the time away. You know.
That's cool. That's
to relax.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. Whenever I get like that question, I'm always like, a boat, a satellite phone, and some flares, you know? I'm always like, I want to get off the island. Anyway.
I wouldn't mind being away for a little while, you know, just relax a little bit. And yeah.
All right, so, you know, you can't talk about Star Wars without Hope. I mean, the very first movie has been renamed A New Hope. So Hope is a big part of Star Wars. So that's what inspired this next question. Mm-hmm.
So for you, how does Star Wars inspire Hope?
He's a deep thinker.
Yeah.
It is. It's a great question. It inspires hope by helping with creativity. Star Wars, when it first started off, was such a large project that Lucas had to make so many different companies in order to even pull off the first movie.
Yeah.
And when you first see that you know, the ships coming in from overhead, and no one had ever seen anything like that before. I remember in Empire, people were asking, "Where's the wires?" You know, right. I can't see. You know, it's wow. Look, so are those things real? And and it just is. It's inspired so much creativity. And between fan fiction and more series and just what we're doing now with podcasts, and it's just allowed everyone to come together, hopefully come together, and do something positive and just let the juices flow.
That's cool. Very interesting. All right, so you know, there's a theme from my perspective. Whenever I watch Star Wars, there's always sort of a running theme throughout every one of the films and even the animation and books of choices. It goes back to all the way you can start in A New Hope. Luke could have taken his Uncle Owen's advice and not gotten involved. Anakin could have chosen not to give in to the dark side. Luke could have chosen to give in to the dark side in Return of the Jedi. And these ideas, they run throughout where you come up to this fork in the road, and the story goes one direction, but there's lots of what if he would have, or what if she would have taken a different, chosen the other direction with that. So that's what always sets up this question. So name a time in your life, DJ. This is the last question, though, so we got to make it hard. Name a time in your life when you had a very clear choice that altered your future. What did you choose and why?
Well, this will be deep, as probably it's supposed to. When I was 19, I was diagnosed with stage 4 Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Wow.
When I was in the doctor's office and we were discussing what to do, he said, "To be honest with you, you have 24 to 36 hours to live.
Oh my God.
And you can either choose to fight, or we can make it easy on you and put you in as best comfort that we can." And I chose to fight. Wow. They tried a last ditch surgery to allow me to breathe, and that gave me an extra month. And then they tried some experimental chemotherapy that was probably the most horrific thing I've ever been through in my life, and it worked. All these gambles that they said, you know, "We don't know if this is going to work or not." And I said, "Go for it. You know, I've made it this far. You know, I'm secure with where I am in my life and in my faith. I know where I'm going to end up when it's all said and done. If it's my time to go, I'm ready. And but, you know, let's fight and see what happens. And if it works, it works." And it's worked so far. So.
Wow. That's amazing. It really does go back to what you were saying about why Rocky Balboa is your favorite non-Star Wars movie, and that quote from it where he says, "You got to keep moving forward. You can't stop fighting," and that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
You know, every time I ask this question, I've been asking people this question in different settings for 20 years now. Every time I ask that question, I follow it up with this one. If you could go back to that moment, 19 years old, in that hospital room, we can make you feel comfortable or you can keep fighting, would you change anything that you decided there?
Absolutely not.
For 20 years, I've asked that question, and not once has someone told me that they would change that. Oh. It's so weird. I love it. That's awesome.
It's crazy. I have 6 kids.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I know that, you know, how empty my life would be now. I mean, you have kids, you know, you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and I've always loved kids, always wanted to have kids. And, you know, if I wouldn't have gotten to know what it was like to have children, I think it would have been wasted. But, so
that's awesome.
Amazing.
What a great way to end that. So DJ, tell everybody how they can find you on like Twitter and social or whatever.
Twitter's what I'm mainly on. Charlie Skywalker's my name, at DBlakeJr7. Drop me a line and I'll be happy to talk Star Wars at any time.
Yes, that's awesome. Everybody follow DJ on Twitter at DBlakeJr7. It's definitely worth a follow and interacting with it. Hey, DJ, thank you so much. Have a great rest of your birthday weekend, and we'll be interacting on Twitter again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for this opportunity. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, man. All right. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
Anything else?
So,
Go for it. You can go first.
You sure?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Star Wars gave Boba Fett a real name, but Lucas changed it.
Yeah, that's nuts. Explain.
Yeah. So apparently,
a lot of our diehards probably know this, but we found this out this week.
But so apparently, there's this bounty hunter anthology book that came out before the prequels that went into Boba Fett's story, like, in detail, and they gave him a real name, and it was Jaster Mereel.
Yeah. And they ended up, after the prequels came out, having to, like, retcon the entire story. And,
right.
Like, come out with some new, like, well, no, that guy, Jaster Mereel, really wasn't Boba Fett, and had create this story. How could he be claiming to be Boba Fett and all this? They had to create this whole thing.
Right. Yeah, because doesn't Jango call him Boba?
Yeah, no, he is. We know Boba Fett is
Boba. In that. Boba, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay.
Okay, a new Star Wars comic. I think it was the Snoke Age of Resistance one that just came out. Has Kylo Ren and Snoke visiting a pretty well-known location in Empire Strikes Back. Just Dagobah and the Force Cave.
What?
And then...
I got a bad feeling about
that's
this.
That's craziness. I haven't read many comics lately because I've been super busy.
And nor have we because we haven't
done it. Yeah. So I've definitely, I haven't really dug into that one that much. Last one, Star Wars 9 Theory may reveal that C-3PO's true allegiances to the dark side. The idea behind this theory is it's like built off of the red eyes.
Yeah.
And the hole in his head.
And yeah, that's a new thing that people are talking about. They're like saying there's a hole on the top of his head.
Or like on his forehead, if you actually look, it's like a dark spot.
Anyway, we'll look at it later. Anyway, they're claiming that he was actually a plant by Palpatine.
Palpatine?
I did it again. Palpatine.
I'm just envisioning Palpatine when he was like 12.
Palpatine. Into Palpatine. My gosh. Oh, that'd be a great cosplay. Like an 11 or 12 year old kid.
I'm not doing that.
You're too old now. An 11 or 12 year old kid dressed as Palpatine, but calling himself Emperor Palpatine. Huh? That would be good. So you can credit us with that. No, we don't even want your credit. So
reflection.
Yeah, anyway. So the idea is that he was planted by Palpatine and that he's been working for Palpatine this entire time.
Right.
Palpatine.
I don't like that idea at all.
I don't think that's it. Well, it was fun having DJ on.
Yeah.
That was great. So why don't we do this? You know, we asked him about a bunch of questions. Let's find out what's a question from you guys. Just a general Star Wars question for our podcast poll of the week this week. What or where does your favorite Star Wars character come from? And we'd love for you guys to also comment below on the tweet and tell us a little bit more about that, who your favorite character is and why they're your favorite. But we've got the original trilogy, prequel trilogy, sequel trilogy, or animation. What's your favorite? Yours is?
Boba Fett.
And where does that version of Boba Fett that you're favorite from?
Original.
Original trilogy. Samuel or BB Nate. He's struggling. He's like beating his head trying to come up with a name.
I don't think I really have a favorite
not BB-8
character. I mean, I guess that could
Wicket.
No. You don't like Wicked?
No, he likes Wicked, but it's not his favorite by any means.
I guess it would be BB-8, yeah.
BB-8, that's cool. And he obviously comes from the sequel trilogy. And mine's Han. Mine's Han, without a doubt.
Yeah.
From which one? Which is the original trilogy. I didn't do the... I should have probably... done. All right, I'm going to have to change that to animation / stories or anthologies.
And comics and books and
stuff? No, like Solo, A Star Wars Story or Rogue One. Because there's a lot of people that love Jyn and love Enfys Nest. Okay. And
so now that you put that in there, after you said Han was your favorite character, do you like...
Oh, it's the Harrison Ford version.
Oh, you got to go there. Good, because I'm like...
Right. Well, big thank you again to DJ Blake for being on the show and also for being an amazing Patreon supporter, one of our producers, along with Emily Hoffman, Eric McGilvray, and Ian Thompson. You guys are awesome. Our senior producers, Kate Disney Lugers, Judith Jesse, hey Grammy, and Roberto Moreno. And if you want to become a Patreon supporter, it's not that hard. I mean, seriously, dude, just go to patreon.com/ Tatooine Sons, watch our videos, see what you want to do, jump in there, figure out the details later. Just go ahead and become a sponsor. That's right. And follow us on social media. We're all over Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We don't do Snapchat because I don't understand it. And we love these reviews. Please, please, please keep sending in these reviews. If you've made it all the way to this point of the show, which is at the very end, then you obviously love us, because nobody sticks around this long if they don't like us. Okay, so go right now. I'm just what right now? Like, open up your phone right now. I'm talking to you right now. You. That's it. Exactly. Open up your phone right now. Open up your Apple Podcasts or your Spotify, whatever you listen to us on, and go to our that right there. It's right there because you're listening right now, so it's easy. Right there, yeah. Click that button. Right there. 5 stars and type in that review. Very good. Okay, thank you. We're gonna read it next week. So how easy was that? My kids are freaking out a little bit right now. All right. That's it, I guess.
It's a bizarre father figures thing again.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So anything else you guys want to say before we go?
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.
May the force be with you. Always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.
Yep, yep. Tatooine Sons, the Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or Disney and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site is located at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, and all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights.